I don't know what you should do, Mike.
I think I'd rather take a bullet in the head.
I'd rather stick needles in my eyes.
I don't know what to say. Felger
and Mass. The Beyond Dumb 2 to 6 show, yeah. Right?
Jackpot!
98.5, the Sports Hub.
So this year, this game, good thing. Overall, big picture, bad thing. That's sort of my assessment of it.
I would agree 100%. Meaning, the league is lucky that it's the Patriots, not the Jaguars.
Yes, it could have been the Jags. It could have been Case Keenum and Bortles, for crying out loud. And instead, they got Nick Foles, who, you look, as much as I dump on Nick Foles, you could do worse at backup quarterback than Nick Foles. Like, the Eagles had a pretty good quarterback situation. He'd start on a lot of teams. So, and the way he looked last week was dynamite. So you got Philly and the Patriots. That's a pretty good Super Bowl, all things considered. But long term, if you're the league, oh my God, I think of it in these terms. Take the Patriots completely out of the picture. Completely out. They don't exist. Who wins the Super Bowl next year? Couldn't you rattle off about 8 teams? Maybe more?
Yeah. What's your point?
My point is it's much more interesting. It's wide open if you take the Patriots out of it. You leave the Patriots in, everyone says New England. You take the Patriots out, who are you picking?
So are dynasties good or bad for sports?
See, I generally think they're good.
I don't.
But in this case, it's gone on so long that I think people are tired of it.
Oh, wow. So what, am I supposed to have empathy for other idiot sports fans in other cities?
No, but that's not the point. Like, here,
is it good or bad for football?
Yeah,
I think it's good. I think it's good for sports. You need the bad guy. What did Tony Montana say in Scarface? You need people like me. You need people to point the effing finger and say, there's the bad guy. I think you need the bad guy in sports. The Pats are the bad guy.
Okay, they're that, but what if they're just a generic winner? Like, were the Spurs good or bad for the NBA? Because they weren't a bad guy. They just won a ton.
Oh, I think the Spurs were boring.
Bad.
I think
it was a boring brand of basketball. I don't know if it's necessarily bad.
Is Alabama good or bad for college football?
I think good.
See, ultimately, I say good.
Bad. 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 It's boring. It's rote. This is, you want to talk about the biggest problem with basketball is you know who's going to win 90% of the time. The competition isn't there. And so I think that when you get a team that's so good that is there every year, you sort of lose that competitive element. So it made last Sunday so great. And most of you, 75% of you didn't want it. 75% of you want the easiest road versus a tough, compelling matchup, which it just blows me away because last Sunday, wasn't that what it's all about? Beating a team that played well, gave you everything that they got, and you had to be smart and tough and resilient and execute to win that game. And that's so much better than winning 35-7. So if there's a team that's just winning every year and is there every year, that sort of chips away at that.
See, but I think short-term dynasties are okay. Like, in fact, I think they're good because I think everybody looks at it and says, who's going to beat these guys? And then inevitably, they fall. They crumble. They fail. They all do, except this one. Like, I think people look at it
and say, Jordan's Bulls. That never crumbled. He just retired. I thought the 90s in the NBA sucked. They sucked.
Okay, but again, it went on a long time.
Those finals sucked. That was not a good era for the NBA. I don't know why people think it was. The same guy, Jordan never even had to go to game 7 in the finals. 6. Was it 2 years off in the middle? So 6 championships over 8 years where the finals was just him against some no-shot team in the West, some tomato can from the West, to the point where it never even got to a game 7. How was that good?
Well, so to me, now you're talking about, though, like,
and that's what the Patriots have turned this into.
Well, they have. There's no question, which is why I think it's bad. So you're talking about if the level of dominance gets so great that no one else can win, that's bad.
When one team has just figured it out and no one else has?
That's bad.
That's not good.
No, that is bad.
And that's what I think we're at with the Patriots right now.
Well, it feels that way now for sure.
Now, maybe that'll change if Brady starts to show some age and these coordinators leaving really leave a mark. And let's face it, that Patriots roster is not great. It's not a great roster. It still has, you know, a brilliant coach and a brilliant quarterback and a really good staff and pieces. But it's not a dominant roster. This ain't like 2004. So maybe the Pats will sort of come back to the pack a little bit. But as it's been the last couple of years, this isn't good for the league where every single week just about the Patriots show how bad everybody else is.
Well, I feel that way about the whole season. Yeah, the whole season, really. I mean, again, look how many teams just fell by the wayside that, in theory, should have been able to challenge them. One after the other, they all crumbled, every single one of them. Like, I think that this season has lacked drama.
No, right, exactly.
As a result of it?
Well, just look at the league the last couple of years. The number one seed has made the Super Bowl 9 out of the last 10 times. So it's sort of, and I think the Patriots are a big part of that.
Yeah, I think that they're hurting the league now. They are. Not that anyone here cares. You know, look, it's great for us.
No, they're not hurting the league. The league is hurting the league. The other teams are responsible for not being able to get their crap together. This isn't. The Patriots aren't hurting the league. Everybody else and the incompetence across the league is hurting the league.
See, but I think a big part of it's the Patriots, too. Again, take the Patriots out of it. If they don't exist, don't you think the run to the Super Bowl is actually hard to predict?
Well, yes, because it's a bunch of crap.
Well, but it isn't. It isn't. There are some decent teams out there.
Decent.
I mean, you know, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, hell, Dallas. Dallas has got players.
Not a good coach among that group, you just said.
Okay, but again, you take Belichick and Brady out, and all of a sudden it gets much more competitive. And I think there's entertainment value in that.
The bad guy. Are they the bad guy because they're bad guys? Or are they the bad guys because they win so much?
They're bad guys because of the sustained dominance that they've had over the league for near 20 years.
So and I've been saying this last couple days, because Patriots fans, again, can't handle it. Why does everybody hate us? Mostly it's because you've won too much, and people want to see a different team. That's mostly it. It's not all of it. I mean, you have some unlikable things about you. Bill's not a likable character, and Brady, for all of his brilliance, is sort of hard to relate to. You know, for some reason, people... Well, no. I mean, I know why he's not hard. He's hard to relate to. He's perfect. He's just, you can't be that perfect. You can't look that good at 40. I mean, does your poop smell, Tom, or do you even poop? I bet you don't defecate. You're that perfect. Like, it's like that sort of thing. Like, you just can't relate to them. So, like, that works against the Patriots. And the cheating thing and all of that. But I really don't think it's secondary to you just being there. Because, like, Alabama doesn't have those negatives, and I'm sick to death of seeing them. I know I can't, I don't want to say it. Could someone beat them, please? I'm sick of them. I'm sick of that one guy is so much better than everybody else in Nick Saban. Like, it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah, but someone did just a couple of years ago with Clemson. I mean, I think it's better viewing. I mean, you tuned in this year to see Georgia at least pull for them and see if they could knock them off, and they ended up doing it in overtime. I think it's good to have someone that you tune in to, that you hope you see crumble, finally. Like, enough of this effing team.
Again, to me, there's a draw when there's a unlikable team in the big game, because you can say, okay, who's going to knock them off? Like, again, in this Super Bowl, I think it's an asset that the Patriots are there. But if they get so damn good, or they have gotten so damn good, when any team reaches that level, and then all of a sudden it sucks the drama out of it, like, was there really any doubt that the Patriots are going to be in the AFC title game again?
None, zero.
And once it was, now look, the game, as it turned out, was unpredictable, but the fact that they're back here, there's no story there. There's nothing interesting there.
The only story is if they lose.
Exactly.
That's the story.
So, like, I think that that's a problem. Their level of dominance has gotten so great for the league now. Not for us, for the league. I think people look at that and go, ugh.
Not good. I think the NHL had a bad time for a while when it was Montreal 4 straight, the Islanders 4 straight, the Oilers 5 out of 6, or something like that. It was all one dynasty. So the best player, it became like basketball. Which, again, I think that's the biggest problem with the NBA. It's just too damn predictable. Roll out the balls. Who's home? They win. Who's the best player? He wins. The higher seed wins. And it's sort of like we're on this run now where it's going to be the Warriors every single year. I mean, and the NBA's healthy. Like, it's a good league right now. But at the end of the day, where's the freaking drama? So, I don't know. I think the Patriots have done that to the league. But the Patriots hate out there is real. I was driving in today. And you know how some radios will, like when I put on Satellite, I put on Mad Dog, it'll somehow, it'll identify the song in writing on your console.
Sure.
Yeah.
It identifies what they're talking about, you know? And so this time I was driving in, it was like the Steve Torrey thing, the midday show, and it said, Steve Torrey, in quotes, Patriots hater calls, end quote. Like, that was the whole show. They were just taking calls on people hating the Patriots. And it's a national show, obviously. And it's sort of like, I think that's out there. And
see, I just don't remember it being like that with the Niners.
It wasn't. It wasn't. Like, and also, but part of it's you. I'm talking to you, Patriots fans. I mean, Niners fans, they weren't obnoxious like fans here in the Northeast. Or, you know, it's just not the same.
No, and the quarterback was sort of understated a little bit in Montana. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. He's a little bit of a glamour boy, too.
Yeah, but it probably would have been different if that was going on now. I mean, you have nonstop coverage. All of this stuff is in your face 24-7. I mean, there's probably an oversaturation point to it, too, no matter what team it happens to be. And if they were so dominant, well, wouldn't they be blowing these teams out in all these Super Bowls that they've played in? I feel like having them there, it's almost a guarantee you're going to get a good game, too, for the neutral fan.
Their Super Bowls have been great. Tremendous.
But the first Philly game was,
okay, but of the previous 7, 6 were good.
Yeah,
still a three-point win.
Sure.
So anyway, that was just a thought for you right there. So we've got still more game reaction. We got more of this Belichick Brady stuff, which I find very interesting. This topic as well, whatever you want. 617-779-0985. You know the number. You're all loaded up.
Felger and Maz. The Sports Hub. Felger and Maz are on your phone with the radio.com app.
Get off the internet.
From 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Dear citizens of New England, I am here on behalf of a beleaguered sports nation with a message for you. No one anywhere in this country feels any sympathy whatsoever for you and your teams. There are sympathetic characters, and then there are all of you. Want to know why? Every single one of your major sports franchises has won a championship in the last 10 years, yet somehow you still play the persecution card. Please. Hey, New England, living well is the best revenge. Whining after everything, and I mean everything, goes your way all the time. There's a reason everyone hates you guys. It's not that your teams are so good. It's that you handle it all so badly. Get over yourselves. Please. Sincerely, everyone else.
Something about his delivery just bugs the crap out of me. It's way too stiff. Like, good God, speak like a human being, would you? Go ahead.
All right, back to the phones, as promised. Andy in New Hampshire. Hi, Andy.
So, I don't know if you guys saw the Sports Illustrated cover, but it questions Patriot fatigue. You just played the Max Kellerman clip. So, obviously, fans in other towns are completely sick of us. But what they're forgetting is something very important. An ABC News poll nationwide ranked the Super Bowls for entertainment value, 1 through 51. And number 10 was Carolina. The last second field goal by Vinatieri. Number 6 was David Tyree's helmet catch. Number 5 was The Dynasty is Born against the Rams. Number 3 was Patriots versus Seattle. Thank you for calling Halo. And number 1 was last year's, 28-3 comeback against Atlanta. So NFL fans in other towns, cheer up. You're likely to at least get a good game.
It's almost always a great game.
It really is, though.
No question about it.
I mean, it's uncanny how they get there. And some of it, I think, is just the way Belichick coaches these games. Not that he doesn't want a blowout, but he's got respect for the opposition. You're facing a good team, and he knows how to keep a game close.
And this is what's different than Jordan. Jordan never even got to a Game 7. No one even pushed him to a Game 7. So, again, maybe the problem in the 90s wasn't, it's not Jordan, it's the rest of the league. It's not supposed to be like that. I mean, the 80s, Bird and Magic went back and forth. In the 60s, Will Chamberlain did not. And so, that was not, how could that have been a good league when one team wins 10? Like, how is that good? So I just don't, it's a commentary on the rest of the league. But in this game, for whatever reason, it does seem to be a competitive game, no doubt about it.
I mean, maybe now we're starting to really feel the impact of Peyton Manning's absence. Say what you want about Peyton, but you did respect the fact that he could beat you, for a period of time. And now it's like, who Coughlin's out too. Who's going to beat them?
James,
Philly's got a shot. I'll say that in this game, I think this could be a good game.
James in California, what do you got?
Hi, who do you think will be the starting running back next year with Burkhead and Lewis going to free agency?
Who's the starting running back next year? Well, I'll tell you this. I would not pay. If Deion Lewis asked for too much money, I would say goodbye. And I love Deion Lewis. And we all do because of the way he's played this year. But I said this coming into this year. Like, even with James White and all of his good stuff, I still said Deion Lewis is your best pure running back, your most talented guy, and I still believe that. But you know how I feel about running backs. You ask me, keep your mouth shut, don't ask for any more money, and don't fumble the ball. And he fumbled the ball last week. If Deion Lewis asks for a dime more than I think he's worth, goodbye. Bye-bye. And who's your starting running back? I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I couldn't even begin to tell you. Like, the free agent list, I'm sure, is out there already. When it comes out, I'll pick a name on it.
Make it Gillislee. You paid him all that money. He did nothing this year. Bring him back and see if he can find it in year two.
Sure.
It makes no difference. It really does.
They'll pluck someone off the street or draft somebody.
I love that kid with the Vikings, McKinnon. I'd love him, but he's a third down guy.
We've got Jim in Beverly. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Good.
So, Mike, last week I called you and told you about this Jacksonville defense. I hope you don't underestimate this Philly defense for this game, because this is going to be one tough game. This is going to be the toughest team they've played all year, in my opinion. And Tony, for you to say this cut on Brady's hand wasn't a big deal, did you see the picture of his hand after how badly it was swollen? The guy did everything, made perfect throws, even did a quarterback sneak. That was a big deal.
So I think it was a big deal. I think he battled through it. I think he deserves credit. What I think the story is that Bill doesn't.
I'm with Bill. That's all. I'm with Bill. So this guy, the caller clearly thinks that Belichick's an idiot, too. I just think that, look, I'm not saying it was a zero. I mean, he had an injury. There's no two ways about it. But it's the NFL. And again, it wasn't on, like, you know, to me, it wasn't on a part of his hand that it would dramatically infect his delivery, right? Again, it's at the base of his thumb there. Watching in the simulcast, you can see the photo. If it's on his thumb up, you know, on the inside of his thumb, closer by his fingernail, the tip of his thumb there, where you're gripping the ball, I'd have had a much bigger concern.
Jules in New Hampshire. Jules, what do you got on the injury?
Hey, what's going on? Didn't even talk about it before game. He talked about it after. If he would have lost, he wouldn't have said a word about it.
Oh, Jules, them talking about the injuries after games, especially when the season is still going on, is very, very rare. Very, very unlike them.
Right, but it's not one of those injuries that's going to linger. You know what I'm saying? It's over now. That injury is over. That was just that one game thing.
Okay, but Tony, I'm telling you, whether the injury's over or not, for them to talk about an injury the way Brady talked about an injury and allowed his people to talk about the injury, and now there's a big Sports Illustrated story with more details about the injury that I feel clearly from the Brady camp, that's not in character. That's not usually the way it happens around here, Jules.
Right. It was just, how many questions can you be like, not talking about? I mean,
They do it all the time.
I think you're missing the mark, Jules. You're trying to blame the media or someone else. I think Brady is helping to make it a story.
Yeah, he was pumping his own tires in this thing a little bit. I mean, he and his camp. And look, if we go to the SI story, then maybe it wasn't him directly who was talking. Maybe it was someone in his camp or whatever. But post-game, they were all pumping Brady's tires, Brady included. And look, I'm not, he's had a miraculous career. He deserves to have his tires pumped on some level. But this was out of character. I found it odd. I'm sorry. I did after the game.
And Bedard believes the same thing. Bedard said, what's going on there? That Belichick is just not giving Brady any sort of consideration on the injury at all. And Greg found that interesting. He also said that, I wonder if Bill's getting annoyed with all the Brady leaks that are going on and all the talking about injuries and all the all the information that's out and all the stuff that was leaked before the game and now after a whole Sports Illustrated article, and it's like, is Bill getting aggravated with all of that?
I mean, and maybe Brady talking about it is tweaking Bill. Like, maybe part of it was designed not just to pump Brady's tires, but to also tweak Bill. Like, here you go. You know, Garoppolo's gone, and here you go. Now you're going to have to deal with it, Bill. What are you going to do? I just found it odd after the game for him to talk about it like he did and say, it was a little dicey there and, I played through worse and, way out of character. It was out of character for them.
It feels that way. And, even the thing, you mentioned just on the field in front of the world to be asked about the thumb and to go, well, coach doesn't want us talking about, but.
You think that hand can hold this one more time? There you go. Step in here. How about Tom Brady today? Everyone's been clamoring since Wednesday to know as much as we can with any specificity about the injury. What can you tell us now? What happened and what was it like today?
Well, I said we'll see. So how'd it go?
I think pretty well.
It went pretty good. Coach Belichick doesn't like us talking about injuries much, but I, just for you guys here, it was just a pretty good cut, and I dealt with the best I could, and lucky to have the best teammates in the world, because without them, we're not standing up here going to Minneapolis to play in the Super Bowl.
Okay, he's downplaying it in the same breath as...
Yeah, oh, shucks.
It's just a cut. Thank God I have good teammates.
I mean, even the beginning of it,
How'd I do?
Yeah, it's like, good, shut up. How did I do? Like, the whole thing, because Belichick must have been sitting there, and I can't remember, was Belichick before Brady or after on the podium?
Before, I think.
Okay, because he wanted nothing to do with the AFC Championship
trophy. Oh, my God, he handed that to Jonathan like it was a turd.
It's like, get that out of here. I don't play for this.
Like, someone handed him a feces. A piece of feces.
I don't blame him either. And I hate those new trophies, too. Go back to the old Lamar Hunt trophy.
I agree with you, by the way.
That thing looks like it weighs about 200 pounds.
Agreed.
You want to have some pipe smoke around
burgundy.
It.
Burgundy. Yeah. I want to hold that and have a burgundy there. And yes.
Oh, but Brady was totally playing.
Goose hunting.
Yeah. Brady was totally playing to the crowd. The reason I asked if it was before or after, because if it was after, Like I said, Belichick probably listened to Brady and got pissed and said, you gotta be kidding me. You had to play up to this? This whole thing? You had a little boo-boo on your hand? And I, hey, how did I do, guys? Huh? What'd you think? How'd I do? Look pretty good.
But you also admitted, Maz, yesterday in that second-to-last answer in Brady's press conference that you feel like he was legitimately freaked out by this injury. So you know it was an issue.
Yeah, I think it was initially. Like, all of a sudden, it's, whoa, how did this happen? And when you read the specifics of it, like, it happened on a handoff, and he didn't get his hand caught on, you know, a helmet or a buckle or anything like that. Like, his hand just ripped. That's weird. Really. His hand just ripped open? Like, how did that happen?
Well, either way, I think it was an issue, and it could have been a problem in terms of accuracy and velocity. I think it was a problem.
And meanwhile, Belichick is saying, oh, it's just a media creation.
Right.
I mean, I think Tom feels about that.
So that's the thing, is like, it's fine if it was a big deal, but they're talking about it so differently. Like, and for Brady to be that open about it, it had to go right up Belichick's backside. It had to.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Bill, this is going. In the last five games, I think you've been penalized a total of 13 times. You know, two previous games before that, there were 9 penalties in each game. And I'm just wondering if that's maybe a reflection of players taking a coaching better and using improved techniques so they don't get in positions, you know, where they commit penalties.
Well, hopefully that's what it is. Yeah. We emphasize that all the time. We always try to work to eliminate penalties. Sometimes those things happen, but as you said, a lot of those penalties are caused by bad technique or just lack of concentration and sloppy football. We certainly are always trying to stamp those out.
That is
insanely good.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And in this last game, there was only one. And I think in this last game, the officiating was kind to them, to put it lightly. You know, the Jaguars weren't robbed. Like, that's sort of stupid. For them to be saying that or anyone to sort of be talking that way. No one was robbed. But if you want to say one team benefited more than the other from the officiating, I think the Patriots clearly benefited from the officiating in that ball game. And it feels like it's been that way for a month. 13 penalties in 5 games. Where before that, and again, as a question, they had 9 in each of the previous 2 games. So the guy asked Bill, you know, is that about better technique? And he says, I hope so. Because what else would it be if it wasn't better technique?
It would be a conspiracy.
It would be a conspiracy that's helping the Patriots. But it doesn't necessarily have to be a conspiracy about helping the Patriots get to the Super Bowl. It could be simple as, well, the Patriots get rung up for 9 penalties in 2 straight games, and Bill calls the league and says, what's going on here? And the next thing you know, there's an overcorrection in the other direction. This happens all the time, right? You complain about something, and then you start getting the calls. And so now in the last month, they haven't gotten any. They haven't gotten Jack called against them. 13 penalties in 5 games. That's nothing. And again, this last game, it was 6-1 accepted. I think it was 9-1 flagged. And again, because now there's momentum on that, the Jaguars have been crying about it, and there's topics, you know, on the national shows about did the Jaguars get robbed? This is just what I got to think about for the Super Bowl. If, you know, is there going to be a correction back against the Patriots because everything's gone their way there in the last month plus?
It's a good theory. It's a good theory. I mean, again, there was a...
I mean, could their technique have really improved that much to go from 9 penalties a game to 2?
No. And look, I think if anything, they're, you know, typically, and I haven't looked at it this year, but typically they're among the lowest penalized teams in the league, right? Except for 2014, I think they were up there. So, don't you think Belichick's reputation factors in too?
Definitely. Oh yeah, he scares the crap out of some of these refs, no question about it. Well, what was the one? Oh, it was the offsides on the punt. Against
Tennessee.
Against Tennessee.
The round.
Where they picked it up. Flag it against New England, and then Bill says something. He's, oh, no, never mind. It's the other way. Like, that one stands out, but I'm sure there's other little small examples like that.
I mean, to me, I give them a lot of credit on the pre-snap ones. You rarely see the Patriots jump offside. You really rarely see illegal procedure.
Right.
You know, illegal shift. There's none of that.
Delay of games, things.
Right. They don't get those. They don't. And the teams that aren't well coached do, and they show up. But in 2014, they had a defense that got a ton of PIs, a lot of defensive holdings.
Revis and Browner.
Right. You know, the personal fouls, all of that. They were grabbing like nobody's business, and they won the Super Bowl. And I had no problem with it. I loved every second of it. So I think some of the penalty stuff gets a little overplayed. Just my 2 cents.
Meaning what?
Meaning, you know, well, they've had 13 penalties in five games. Okay, tell me which kinds of penalties they are, and I'll tell you whether or not they matter. Like, again, the pre-snap ones absolutely positively matter. Wouldn't kill me every now and then to see someone light someone up in the secondary and get an extra 15.
So do what Church did.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I target the head. I'm just saying make guys aware that they're going to get hit if they catch the ball in the secondary. To me, that 2014 team, that was a big part of who they were.
Anyway, it just feels like a building commentary a little bit. Again, I think the officiating was good to you in the last game. It's been good to you for the last month if you look at the numbers. And I wonder if there's a correction coming on the other side.
Yeah, but as it pertains to this last game, anyone bitching about it? And I know this has been a bee in Carlton's bonnet, because remember, he called Stephen A. Smith. We played that call even going back to the Tennessee game. But particularly this Jacksonville game, keep bitching about it. But on the other hand, I don't know, don't give up a 3rd and 18. Maybe go for it before the half when you have about a minute and two timeouts left. And don't have a stupid delay of game penalty when you have the Patriots on the ropes late in the game. I have no sympathy for anyone bitching about penalties with this AFC Championship game.
Yeah, to me, that's not the story. The story's going forward. Are the refs going to look at that, or is the Eagles...
And make a market correction.
Yeah, I'm going to say, like, look at this. You know, what are you doing here with the Patriots, guys?
I mean, if I were the Eagles, I'd point it out.
Hell yes, you would.
And, you know, again, we talked about the last play with Deion Lewis, right? There was a hold on that play.
Yes, there was a hold on that play. And again, the whole Miles Jack thing, I mean, there was a handful of plays. I don't blame the refs either if you're the Jaguars. That's a loser's mentality. But there were a couple of plays from that game that you come out of and you go, boy... And just, you know, those things sort of even out. So you wonder if it's going to even out against the Patriots in the Super Bowl. That was just a thought when I heard that cut today. Back to the phones. Dave in Fall River. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, but you guys talking about how New England's bored about getting an AFC championship, it doesn't mean anything unless we actually win the Super Bowl. It, just because we're not going up dune buggies and greasing up poles, I still think all Patriot Nation enjoys every single championship, because we all know it's going to end eventually. And just to say it's not as satisfying, this one, maybe because there's tomato cans, but that was a good game to me.
Who said it's not as satisfying?
I heard you guys say it was just, especially Belichick being on, like, oh, here's the championship, I don't want it. You know, Brady just trying to pass it off.
Oh, like, no, those guys, I'm a little confused. We never say anything about those guys not appreciating the championships. We had a conversation last week about what do you want? Do you want tomato cans and easy matchups, or do you want tough, compelling competition? And 75% of you want the easier matchup than compelling competition. And even though I couldn't predict it, I think that Jacksonville game shows you that you should want good games, because it's better. It's more satisfying. That's why you watch sports, to see you overcome and see you outmaneuver somebody and outcompete somebody and out-execute someone. That's the whole point of this, is to see competition, be faced with a challenge, and to overcome the challenge. That's the fun part, for me anyway. And so that's why that game on Sunday was so great. What a great football game. You were challenged and you overcame it. Aren't you so much happier that you got that versus 42-7?
I mean, which win will you remember more in the AFC Championship game, this year or last year?
This year.
How about this week or last week? Like the Jacksonville versus Tennessee? Like
even better.
Is it even close? You want three Tennessee games through the championship? I mean, I know you'll take it, but what's better?
I mean, last year they beat Pittsburgh, but it was, you know, piece of cake.
Can you remember one play?
Chris Hogan being wide open.
Know them the area code of Chris Hogan in the end zone. Right. I think it's the only play I can remember, barely. I don't even really remember it.
This game was way better.
It goes on the list. It's one of the all-timers. When we look back on the thing, this will be one of the things that you go back to in remembrance. I remember when he did that, and do you remember that feeling and how the over... Like, that's great. That was a great afternoon of football. Why you would prefer 42-7 is beyond me when you've already done it six times.
Just better for my heart and well-being is all.
I understand it, Murray. I understand it. Long commercial.
Just smoke a little, Murray.
Long commercial-free segment is next.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
Blood force drive!
It'll run it right down their throat!
This is Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now, I'd rather not do anything with my hand, but I just wrapped it up and try to cover it up and see if, go out there and play and be effective.
Did it impact you at all?
I'd rather not wear it. I think it sounds kind of arrogant to say, oh yeah, it bothered me when we had a pretty good game, so I wouldn't say that. It's like when Tiger Woods said, like, that was my C game and he won the tournament.
Just your thoughts on Tom Brady, all that went on this week outside of the locker room and that performed the way he did today.
Yeah, well, it went on outside the locker rooms with all of you guys, so I don't know about that. You could tell me all about that. Inside the locker room, everybody prepared for the game. Tom did a great job preparing. And I mean, look, Tom did a great job, and he's a tough guy. We all know that, all right? But not talking about open heart surgery here.
Is that, Bill, just generically not letting a player talk about injuries? Or is there a little bit of the Belichick-Brady history in there? Maybe it's both.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. Yesterday when I heard it, I thought it was just chalk it up as typical football coach behavior. This is something you would expect from Bill Parcells. Like, unless your leg has fallen off or your arm is broken, you know, and it's obvious, come on, stop it. You're fine. It's a little boo-boo. Get out there and play. Everyone's making too much of this.
Meanwhile, Brady's...
But now the more I thought about it, and the way Bedard was talking about it earlier, maybe there is some residual after effect of the everything going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, Bedard thinks that it's a little much, you know, that, you know, Bill's not giving Brady any sort of deference to the injury. It's like, more than usual, and Brady clearly wants it. He's sort of passively aggressive, you know. Coach doesn't want us talking about it, but, you know, I don't want it on there, and you know, right.
Just for you 75,000 people out here.
My season wasn't going to end on a handoff, and you know, now there's this big Sports Illustrated story where, again, it feels like his camp is all over the place and about just how bad it was, and Brian Hoyer was getting ready to play all the way up until Sunday, and you know, the thing was bent back so much, the skin pinched, and it was, you usually see that in dislocations, and the, you know, like, it just, again, all clearly coming from Brady people, not team people. They're not going to talk about that. The Belichick people aren't going to talk about that like that. So I'm just going to add it all up, and it's like, and like, still like this little thing, maybe.
A lot of Brady love going on. You know, make sure Tom gets his attention. Like, you know, that's what it feels like to me. I'm sorry. I can't get around that. I think on some level, Belichick looks at this thing and go, you got to be kidding me. You cried to the owner about the other guy being here. You've got to have your little, you know, handmaiden there taking care of you all the time, and your trainer. Now you cut your hand, and all of a sudden it feels like you get amputated at the elbow before the game. Like, what is it next? Like, that's what it, to me, that's what it feels like Bill's saying. And look, some of it's his delivery, too. Like, that's just, you know, it's not like it's open heart surgery. You know, what are you guys talking about? He cut his hand.
Murray, what's he really saying?
He's a, a bitch. And there's got to be part of him that thinks that way. And the other thing, too, that probably chaps his ass is, you know, what's it always been? No one guy is bigger than the team. Well, it's too late now.
Okay, you know, so Brady. That piece I was also going to mention, like, you know, not that Bill would know or generally track this stuff, but when you do watch the game, the AFC Championship game involving the Patriots, in the middle of the game are a series of commercials about Brady, by Brady, for Brady, Brady versus time, and Brady, Brady, Brady. Brady does this, Brady does that. Look at me, I'm beating time, da-da-da. Like, you don't see that every day either when it comes to the Patriots. One player putting himself out there like that in the middle of the game, never mind, you know, any time else.
I mean, it's got to drive him bananas. It has to drive him bananas. The whole thing's about the quarterback. You know, and again, going back to when he was suspended and the banner on the light tower and the whole the lighthouse. Like, there's no way Belichick likes any of that.
Yeah, well, I hope you learn to live with it. And I think that's what a lot of Robert Kraft's statements were the other day when he was talking to Willie McGinnis. Like, you know, get your egos in check, because without him, you're not winning that game. You're certainly not, even if you have Jimmy Garoppolo, as much as you might believe in him and he's part of your long-term plan, you ain't winning that game. You're not getting that kind of comeback with Jimmy Garoppolo on Sunday.
And I mean, but, no. But whose ego feels more out of control?
Oh, Brady's.
Like, it's not even close, is it?
No.
I mean, Bill's got a massive one, too. Let's not delude ourselves. And part of the
No, but this is how Bill was always going to act. This is how Bill was always going to be. If any player got bigger than the team, even Brady, or this condition existed where he lost control in some regard, which is what he has with Brady. He lost control as relates to Brady. He couldn't call the shot on the contracts, on the players, on the, you know, some of the medical treatment. Like, he lost control. That was never going to sit well with Bill. You knew he would react like this, if he's acting presumably the way we think.
Right. I think Belichick's behavior is consistent.
Yes, exactly. Brady's the one that's changed.
Yeah, it feels that way.
So, anyway, read the Sports Illustrated story. There's some interesting details in there about the injury. And again, it feels like the Brady leak thing is more than ever. More than ever. Okay, back to your thoughts. Here's Matt in Natick. Go ahead, Matt.
Michael, I'm sorry if this topic has been discussed. I haven't heard everything you guys have had to say today or yesterday, but I didn't hear it on Sunday night's TV show, and I haven't heard it today. I thought Bedard would mention it. From the middle of that drive, the Patriot drive, to go to 17 points, to have their second touchdown, the bunch of people that I was watching the game with, we were almost in unison. The Jaguars looked beat. They looked gassed. They didn't play up to their potential because I don't think they were conditioned well.
Conditioning's a huge factor, Matt,
yeah,
that no one ever talks about, but it's huge. I agree with you.
I think it's a huge coin in the Patriots' pocket. I just don't see that these guys are conditioned. Anyway, I'll listen.
No, I think you're right, and it stuns me the amount of teams that still fall into it in that. I mean, again, just conditioning was absolutely a factor in the Super Bowl against Atlanta, where Atlanta had to be out there for like 90 plays or something.
I think it was almost 100 plays on defense.
So, like, as anyone would, but certainly Atlanta got gassed in the Seattle Super Bowl. You know, never mind the last sequence and the, you know, that foolishness on the goal line. The Patriots did come back from a 10-point deficit in the second half, correct? And if you go back and watch the sideline stuff, Bill mentions to Brady, watch, they're getting out of their zones. They lost conditioning at the end of that game. Certainly happened the last time you played the Eagles in 04. Huge, huge thing. This is what I talk about. The Eagles have to be ready to play 60 minutes, and they better make sure that their last 5 minutes are their best 5 minutes. And that includes not just execution and decision-making and all of that. You've got to have your lungs. You've got to have your legs. You have to be in conditioned. And especially in this game. This game's unlike any other. It goes off at a different time. The pregame is longer. The halftime is longer. The building's warmer. There's smoke from the halftime. It's unlike anything else. Everything's longer. Everything's longer. It's a four-hour game, not a three-hour game. And the breaks are long. Everything. So you got to be in the best condition of the season. The Carolina game, huge. Carolina Super Bowl, huge. Condition was huge there because I think they had the roof closed for some godforsaken reason. And so all the smoke trapped in there. And I remember, like, they were waving towels at players at the end because they were all getting gassed. And remember how it all opened up against, you know, back and forth, up and down the field. Everyone was gassed. Conditioning's huge. Let's see if the Eagles figure it out this time. Because the last time you faced the Eagles in this game, they were puking all over themselves, literally.
Like, I think, look, I mean, I'm not dismissing the conditioning thing. I just think any team that had been out on the field playing defense for 100 plays would have been gassed.
You got to be ready to play 90 plays.
Yeah.
That's what, if I'm Doug Peterson, I'm telling you, be ready to play 90 plays.
But, you know, if you're running around chasing people in defense for 100 plays, you're going to get tired. Like, I just don't know if there's any way around that one. That's all I'm saying. And then, but I will say that I think the, you know, I still think a big part of it's the mental toughness, that even when you are tired, you have to ignore it. And I think Brady and the Patriots do that.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Mad.